Welcome to the podcast with me, your host, Dr. Deborah Jurst, and my co-host,
Faraday Golombieski, nurse practitioner here at Revitalize MD.
The one and only.
Not anymore. There's another.
Oh, yes.
You forgot so quickly. Well, it's
the one and only.
Because I'm the only one that matters.
The one and only Faraday, though.
That's it.
All right. Well, today we're going to touch on a topic that gets asked all the time in the office. And it's, well, because we see patients and we see a lot of patients, a lot of women that come in, but they've had a hysterectomy with sudden changes in their hormones, but yet their ovary was preserved with the hysterectomy. So they did a partial. So if we want to talk about that, partial means ovaries are left, and a complete hysterectomy is everything, uterus and ovaries.
And ovaries. Everything's been removed.
So they preserve the ovaries. Like, it's, there's two schools of thought, and I don't know what percentage do complete versus partial. I think partial is much more common now.
But, especially in younger women.
Yeah, and younger. And it's meant to preserve function of the ovaries. And again, the ovaries are where the hormones are produced for women, most of them. There's other places such as the adrenal. But estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone are produced in the ovaries. So you preserve, keep the ovaries so that they continue to produce hormones.
That is the hope.
The hope
is that we preserve the ovaries to maintain those hormones.
So what we would love you ladies to do is to drop comments, your experience post-hysterectomy with any changes that you noticed right after surgery.
Specifically those who have had a partial, we'd love to hear from you, because as we've gotten into this topic, there is some data out there, but what we are seeing online versus in the studies versus what we see in clinic doesn't always match up.
Yes.
So we'd love to hear your experience.
So if you can just leave us some comments so we can have an active dialogue, we can do another podcast and get more deeply into it. But right now, when we do study searches and research on this, you know, it doesn't give us a lot of data on a halt in ovarian function related to a partial hysterectomy. So let's talk about the blood flow. To keep it simple, they're closely related.
Yeah. And so you have your uterus, and then you have your fallopian tubes that go off on each end, and then the ovary is housed at the end.
Correct. And she is using hand gestures right now. But if you are listening and not watching, we suggest you go over to YouTube and just watch, because her hand gestures are awesome.
They are amazing today. I am point on.
They are amazing hand gestures.
I could draw it out, but I guess you got to go to YouTube anyway.
Good. So basically the ovaries are, you know, close to the uterus, and there's a blood supply. So there's a large vessel coming from the pelvic region, which is the internal iliac artery, that feeds the uterus through the uterine artery. And there is a supply to the ovary, which is the ovarian branch of the uterine artery, that takes off, but it takes off most of the time after the uterine blood supply. So if you were to cut the blood supply to the uterus to take out the uterus, which you would want to do so you didn't bleed heavily during that surgery, then you would also cut that blood supply to the ovary. Now there is another.
Yes. So that's what Dr. Jurst is saying, is that there is another vessel that does feed that ovary. But if the main supply of blood is coming from that uterine artery, that is where there can be a potential issue with hormone production.
And we actually know this to be the case with the coronary arteries, for instance. There's dominant vessels in some patients that aren't present in other patients. And so as we were doing research, we couldn't get a good handle on numbers of women that would have hormone, at least symptoms or hormonal imbalances that happened after a partial hysterectomy, or what was dominant in the blood flow. But there are two ways to get blood to the ovaries. One is through the uterine artery, which will be cut during a surgery. And the other one is from the ovarian artery that doesn't come that same route. So they're collaterals, which one's more dominant. And if, you know, you lose the more dominant, do you get a decrease in hormone production? And we do hear that a lot.
So does it lead to ovarian failure?
Do your ovaries really still work after a partial hysterectomy? And again, I don't think there is a solid answer to a percentage. We couldn't find it. We are going to dive
deeper into it. Nothing that we would actually say on a podcast and put out as a truth.
Yes, we are going to do some more research into it. But in the meantime, because we get this question every day and we have a whole population of ladies that can maybe comment and answer, we wanted to put it out on a podcast to get some feedback. And then we're going to look more into it. And what we want to point out is that if you have a hysterectomy, you have the uterine artery that's cut, the blood supply is dominant on that route into the ovarian supply, then potentially you might have a decrease, maybe even a halt of production, but if not, a decrease in production of hormones and therefore symptomatic from hormone decline, which again is progesterone, estrogen, testosterone. And it even brings us further to the fact that a lot of times the hysterectomies are done for excessive bleeding, fibroids, issues that are related usually to estrogen dominance during perimenopause. And so if we had progesterone.
Or lack of progesterone.
Yeah, or lack of progesterone. So progesterone and testosterone both
drop. Because testosterone plays an ovarian function as well.
Yeah, and it antagonizes estrogen. So basically progesterone and testosterone typically drop during perimenopause and antagonize the uterine effects of estrogen. And this is well known in studies that, again, the uterine division and or proliferation of tissue is an estrogen effect that is antagonized by testosterone and progesterone that drop during that time frame. So if we potentially could optimize those other hormones, could we change the course of hysterectomies in women?
And potentially prevent them.
Yes. It's a question for sure. It is a hypothesis, and that's what science is about, right? Throwing out questions, but
looking
then
at the science
answers.
And the data.
Yeah. And again, we had a World Health Initiative study that way back, you know, again, set out to answer some questions that I feel like probably didn't get translated or communicated correctly. But right now, again, this is data that we do need, like how often, what percentage of women have a hormonal decline and androgen and progesterone and even estrogen that drop after a partial hysterectomy. And can we do something to change the course?
And how many women pre-hysterectomy are having their hormone levels checked? Is that even part of the process if you're coming in with heavy periods or fibroids or any of these issues where it is, okay, we need to do a hysterectomy or a partial hysterectomy? Is there ever a conversation of, let's look at your hormones and let's see what they're doing to see if there's something we can replace before we cut, right? Because we should always be doing whatever we can to prevent cutting.
Cutting. I agree. And so looking at that and maybe a trial of progesterone to antagonize those estrogenic effects on the uterus and the endometrium might be helpful. Those are definitely questions, studies. We're going to dive deeper into it. We would love to hear comments about, are your hormones tested? Do they talk to you about hormone levels when they're talking to you about an ablation or a hysterectomy?
Or do they talk to you about the potential of ovarian failure with a partial hysterectomy?
And further, if you have early menopause due to ovarian failure with hysterectomy, it is shown that you have an increased chance of depression and sexual dysfunction, or just sexual dysfunction that leads to depression. And so there
are 200 and something percent higher percent to have depression if you have sexual dysfunction as a female. That's crazy high numbers.
And the highest at risk are the younger the patient, the younger the woman with a hysterectomy. So there are great questions that I feel like we need to do a better job of answering in medicine. And we're definitely going to do our part and deep dive into it and open conversations.
Educating women on what to ask.
Yeah.
Right? When you're going into these appointments, do you even know to ask the questions? What about my hormones? Is there other options? What could possibly prevent some of the stuff that's going on that we haven't discussed? Is there a natural route?
And if you have asked, we would love to hear what you've been told and what the answer is. So definitely leave comments. This is a huge one. We want to have dialogue and discussions with our ladies out there. And also let us know if there's anything else you want to hear. Share this with friends for sure, because the more women that we can get commenting, the better information we'll have. And then like, subscribe, all those things, all the things. Because we're willing to deep dive into anything women's health and also just to revitalize your look, your health, and your sex life.